Tell him how we're gonna come crunk, Andre.
Blog Talk Radio.
No, no. You kill me, Rob. You kill me, man.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Y'all know what time it is. It's time to wake up to 12 and 4.
12 and a year.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot,
time
a pillow.
Is now. In case you forgot, the time is now. Of course, you know what time it is? It is, of course, that time. It is 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. You are talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Robert Ford. And today, of course, it is Tuesday, October the 8th. Man, we got a fantastic night of sports to talk about. As always, I would not be remiss. I got to check in with my co-host, Rob Ford. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, Doc, man. Ready to get this party started. How about you tonight?
Pretty good, man. I'm hoping it's not delayed, man. I feel like I'm like optioning the pitch. I'm like, how you doing, Rob? And Rob's like, yeah, I'm doing good, man. So it's all good, man. That's what we do, man. We are very excited to bring another episode. You know, I'm always there's a lot of love, Rob. Of course, we got to show some love for some numbers before we jump into a lot of our topics. If you want to reach out and call us, we have a dedicated line. Just we invite you guys to call us. That number is 424-243-9519. As always, we are on Twitter as well. So at 12 Man, that's the number 12, THMAN Sports. And finally, we're on Facebook, Rob. If you didn't know, now you know. Obviously, go to facebook.com/12Man Sports. That's our actual page title. But if you put Talking Sports at 12 Man, you'll find us as well. So all that good stuff. Woo! You good, Rob?
I'm good, man. Let's make it do what it do, Doc. We got a lot to get to.
Here we go. Let's talk about this. You know, a lot of things have been going on. You know, if you're a Falcon fan, you're kind of in shock as far as what happened last night. The Jets came in and kind of did some things. I know, Rob, as a Saints fan, you really don't care about that. You're probably celebrating over there. But that's okay. So,
I have a quick little story here, real quick. You know, I know you probably think I'm celebrating, but you know, my wife and I, we're in the Pick That League, and we have to pick a team every week who we think is going to win. You know, I went with, you know, and every week we pick a different team because we don't want to pick the same team and both get eliminated by any chance, and so. I had her to pick Atlanta, and I picked St. Louis. I thought those were the two teams that were going to be definitely win this weekend. And so we were Falcon fans last night, believe it or not. I know a lot of my fellow Saints fans probably not going to appreciate that, but obviously picking the Falcons didn't work out for us on last night.
I'm sorry to hear that, Rob. You know, I'll be a little nice to you. Maybe I'll play stand up and get crunk for that a little later on, man, but for next show, man. So, but, you know, it's a tough thing. And, you know, the rumor is that Julio Jones hasn't been confirmed, but he's likely to be out for the season. And you talk about just kind of the wheels kind of falling off. As a Falcon fan, last year we were top five, and we've already matched our losses. And if he is actually out, this is a big blow. And not to say that, every team goes through injuries and a lot of significant stuff. So this is pretty big because, you know, obviously Roddy hasn't been 100%. You lost Sean Witherspoon, a couple of guys, Corey Beerman, all that good jazz. So this is definitely going to be a test for us just to make sure that we're able to step up. And if, you know, how will the Falcons respond? It's a good question. We got a bye week. We got to get the guys behind them ready. If he is out, we'll probably see a move for another wide receiver, hopefully a veteran that's out there. And like I said, I think it's definitely going to affect us. I don't think we're obviously not Super Bowl bound for sure, as much as I hate to admit that right now, but unless something just changes. But hopefully they'll be able to pull it out, and we'll be able to be competitive for the rest of the year, and you know, we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to hear. I mean, you talk about a team, as you mentioned, is just taking a huge blow when it comes to injuries. As you mentioned, Bierman.
Yeah.
Corey Bierman. You talk about Sean Weatherspoon, and Roddy White has not been 100% at all this season. Then you lose your prize free agent, Steven Jackson, as well for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And so if they are going to have any success at this point, you're probably going to have to go more to a ball control kind of style offense with Steven Jackson, short passing game a little bit. If you can get Roddy White healthy, you might be able to salvage something here a little bit. But, you know, without Roddy White and Steven Jackson, it's going to be tough for them to even go to a solid, you know, ball control kind of offense here. But I think the thing, if you're a Falcon fan, it probably worries you more than anything right now is the defense and whether or not they can stop people.
Yeah, we decided to make some decisions and let some people go. We got a little younger. And I'm not far in the fact that we drafted some rookie guys, but it's just, you know, you kind of worry about the timing of it. So, but, you know, if you're a Falcon fan, you need some consolation, let us know. I know the Braves lost too. Hawks lost in the preseason, but, you know, we're still keeping it moving. So, you know, we're not going to cry. And, you know, I appreciate Rob for at least pacifying me for the first part of the show. You may be crazy happy, you know, after the call is over. But for now, I appreciate you showing us some love for America, too. So that's what it's all about, sir.
Absolutely.
Good deal. Let's talk about some good news. The Saints are playing extremely well. You guys are 5-0. Good shout-out to you guys. And big news for the Patriots, your up-and-coming opponent, in that Rob Gronkowski is expected to play. I guess the question that I have, you know, I don't know if this is definitely a kind of a reaction to what happened versus Cincinnati. I know it was raining sideways, and they were able to give the Patriots a first loss. But do you think Ron Gronkowski is going to kind of be able to ease in? I mean, you expect he's going to be a little rusty, you think? Or how do you think his performance is going to actually happen for this first game back?
Well, I think what you're going to have to expect, I mean, whether or not he's 100% right now, that's yet to be seen. I think anytime somebody comes back from an injury, it's going to take him at least two quarters to kind of get in the groove of the football game. And, you know, I don't know how many snaps Bill Belichick plans to play him. But I don't think you're going to see the Gronkowski of old just yet. I think, you know, maybe in the second half, or maybe it's going to take a game or two before you start seeing him work into that kind of a game shape and things like that. Obviously, the Saints are going to have to be aware of him, and they're going to have to pay attention to him just because of, you know, who he is and things of that nature. And, you know, I'm not sure if there's any other receivers the Patriots have that really scare you at this moment. You know, maybe Julian Edelman. And so you're definitely going to have to at least pay attention to Gronk. And maybe he possibly opens it up to four other receivers on the team.
Yeah, we'll set up plays up too. That's a great point, Rob, that he may be used as a decoy. Like you said, we don't know how many snaps, if he's really ready. You know, as mentioned, if you're kind of keeping track.
The Patriots definitely need him, that's for sure.
They definitely need him, yeah, like I said. So, you know, we'll see if they're forcing the ball to him. You know, obviously your defense has been pretty much improved, so I'm sure you guys will have some things for him as well. So, you know, definitely be up to the Patriots. And they always do a good job of coaching. So this is going to be a very good game no matter what. And
Absolutely.
Let's really keep moving on with that. Yeah, let's talk about – and, you know, like I said, there's been a couple of injuries that have been – you know, it's very unfortunate in that, obviously, Texans tight end Owen Daniels is out 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured leg. You know, next man up, obviously, we're going to step up with that. And then also the Jets, you know, they are able to pull off a victory against the Falcons. But Mark Sanchez decides to move forward with the season-ending injury surgery. What do you think about that? I wonder if that's a reflection as far as the Jets, like, kind of forcing them, not forcing them, but kind of saying, hey, go ahead and make that, you know, go ahead and do that. I was curious about what you think about both situations, Rob.
Well, when you look at the Texans and the Jets, these are two teams or heading in directions that we didn't think they were going. I think thought the Texans were going to be a contender here in the AFC, a contender for the AFC South. And, you know, you lose Owen Daniels 4 to 6 weeks. Matt Schaub, they're calling for his head down in Houston right now. They want to bench. They want to get rid of him. It's really surprising. And how poorly the Texans are playing at this moment. I mean, they got destroyed by the 49ers Saturday night. They're already 2-3 on the season. And even the two games they won, it wasn't pretty. And so you're looking at a team, you didn't think they were going to be this bad. And then you look at the Jets team, you didn't think they would be 3-2. I mean, you know, I thought they were a team that's going to be competing for the number one pick in the draft next year. And they're 3-2. Rex Ryan's got them playing outstanding defense. You saw Geno Smith maturing a little bit last night. And so you're looking at a team that's, you know, looked like it's heading in, you know, a direction that we didn't think they were going to be this season. Mark Sanchez, he's going to be out the door at the end of the season. You know, of course, you feel for him with his injury. But the Jets are going to release him. He won't be back with the Jets next season. And we'll have to see where he winds up.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye as far as that, too, because I know we're going to talk about that a little later on, Rob, as far as what QBs in the NFL should be benched. There's definitely some movement. If you didn't hear, you know, Tampa Bay released Josh Freeman, which is no surprise, but he ends up getting picked up by the Vikings. And I don't know if you remember me saying that last week as far as a good spot for him. So, but, yeah, we'll talk about movements and whatnot because, you know, like you said, it's just amazing to see Matt Schaub. He is not playing well. And, you know, I kind of agree with you. I think that they did not play well. And you do wonder if it is a quarterback situation, you know, Rob, because, you know, they have a pretty solid team defensively and what's going on with that too. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk about that in a quick second. But once again, I want to throw out the numbers real quick for those that want to join us and definitely call in. Our number to call is 424-243-9519. And let's talk about the top five teams in the NFL, and we'll talk about some quarterbacks and releases and all that too. So I'm going to go ahead and kick it off real quick because I have an interesting surprise in mind. I'm definitely going to go with Denver's, you know, on that roll. I mean, right now they're just looking like, you know, the representative right now. Still going to play the games, but they're just on a roll doing their thing. Number two, I think I'm right there with you, Rob, with Kansas City, man. They have played a tough Tennessee team. They're able to pull it off, and they're 5-0 as well. I'm going to show some love to your New Orleans Saints. I got some threes, and that may be switched between me and you probably. A surprise team I have, I got the Colts at number four. The Colts were actually whipped up on Seattle, and I don't know if we saw that coming, but, you know, looks like, you know, at the Lucas Oil Field, you know, the Colts looked pretty unstoppable, so that was a very impressive game for them. And, you know, even though the Seahawks lost to the Colts, I still got them number five. So, you know, we can get some honorable mention there for the for a couple teams here. But that's what I have right now for my top five. What about you, sir?
Well, I think we're pretty close. I think we have the exact same five, just slightly different order. I have Denver still at number one, even though I am a little concerned about their defense. They are offensively, they're scoring a lot of points, but I'm a little curious of what's going to happen when they run against a team that's going to play some really good defense. And because they can't stop anybody as well, the Denver Broncos. So I think if you're Denver, there has to be some kind of concern right now with their defensive unit. But offensively, man, they're playing lights out. I mean, Peyton Manning is having an unbelievable year. He's off to another MVP start. So I'm going to still keep them in the number one spot. I moved the Saints up from 3-2 this week. And once again, you got to be impressed with the job that Rob Ryan has done with improving the Saints defense. And Sean Payton and Drew Brees back together again has solidified that offensive unit once again. And so right now I have them in the number two position. Number three, you have to be impressed with Kansas City. But I do think Kansas City will still lose both games to Denver this year. So I have to keep them in the, you know, number three spot. But I am impressed with Kansas City's defense. They got a great pass rush now. And I tell you what, Alex Smith is not the greatest quarterback, but the guy doesn't make many mistakes if you sit there and watch him play. Very solid at the quarterback position. I think he and Andy Reid has become a solid match as well. And so I keep the Chiefs right there at the number three position. Number four, I have the Colts. And if you go back and listen to last week's show, I actually picked the Colts to beat the Seahawks. And they wound up doing it in a close matchup. You look at the Colts, they've really had a tough schedule, and they've beat some pretty good teams already in the 49ers and the Seahawks. So you got to give them some credit. At the number four position, Andrew Luck is definitely looks like the best young quarterback in the NFL right now. It comes through in the clutch as well. And I have Seattle rounding out my top five.
Kudos, sir. Good job with the picks, man. You know, I think that we've both been on fire. So that's what we do. That's why we are talking sports for the 12 men. So we're going to keep it moving. And I like it, Rob. Good job as far as your top five. And I figured we'd have some slightly different variations, but it's pretty cool that we were pretty much on point with the exact same teams. Let's talk about the draft here coming up, and the New York Giants. Unfortunately, they have not been playing well. Eli Manning is acting like he's been adopted, playing nothing like his brother right now. Right now the question that's been posed is if the Giants play bad and they somehow get that number one pick, would they draft QB from Louisville, Teddy Bridgewater? I'm going to go on the limb, and not only that, I'm going to fear the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're probably hoping that doesn't happen. But even if somehow the Giants are number one, I still think they would pass over Teddy Bridgewater, and they would make a move to get Jadeveon Clowney. So I think even if they had the number one pick, they would probably move in that direction. Now, I think that if you're Jacksonville and you get the number one pick, I think they would pass over Jadeveon Clowney and go with Teddy Bridgewater. So just kind of a different thing as far as that, and we still have a long way to go. But I would like to get your thoughts about that, Robin. Also, Jadeveon has been in the news as far as taking himself out, you know, maybe saving himself in the NFL. What do you think about that? I think it's fine because he's getting double, triple teamed. You know, right now in college, and it's not really, you know, he's the number one guaranteed top two pick. I think it's fine, man, for him to kind of save himself. So I want to hear your thoughts about that, and also what you think about the Giants and their opportunity about Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, I definitely agree with you when it comes to Jacksonville Jaguars. If they have the number one pick, they are surefire to take Teddy Bridgewater. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not going to just write off the Giants from taking them just yet either. I'm going to say it's 50-50. I think it's going to have a lot to do with the way Eli Manning plays the rest of the season. You saw the Colts, what they did. They released Peyton Manning a few years ago and went with Andrew Luck to go with the younger quarterback. And, I mean, it's obviously worked out well for both teams. Worked out well for the Colts. It's worked out well for the Broncos. Won't be surprised if the Giants consider it highly. I'm going to say it's a 50-50 chance that they would go ahead and take Bridgewater, build toward the future, and maybe look toward getting rid of Manning, especially at the rate that they're going this season. They're on five. You know, sometimes when these kind of seasons happens for certain ball clubs, they just go into, you know, rebuild mode altogether. And I could really see them actually going ahead with Bridgewater and starting over. I mean, Manning, you know, he's in his 30s now. You got an opportunity to get that number one pick in the draft. You get an opportunity to start early. So I'm going to say it's a good chance that they would take him. And going back to Clowney, I understand it, but I don't necessarily like it. I understand it. You know, he's going to be a top five pick in this draft regardless. And so I think, you know, he knows that. And but I don't like the fact that it would be taking games off and quitting on his team. You would like to see him go ahead and play. And you know, I think it's, you know, what it'll show to GMs around the league is that he really loves the game. And so you want to see that passion that he really wants to play the game. And I think that will say a whole lot when GMs begin to do their draft grades this offseason.
I don't think it's going to matter, Rob. The dude is clearly talented, man. They're going to probably see this guy, you know, he's an investment at this juncture. So, yeah, you may love the game, but, you know, then if he gets injured, then what are they going to say? Well, he should have been playing, you know. So it's almost like he can't win, you know. But, you know, yeah, you may love the game, you may, you know, want, but really what's it going to benefit you? I mean, he's probably working on technique. He's clearly one of the talented players right now. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things we can go 50-50, obviously, with that, too. So. Yeah, that's just me. Let's talk real quick about the Raiders. They actually released Matt Flynn. Did you see that coming, Rob? And we're going to talk about some other quarterback play as far as the league. Was that something that you think was a good move, or are you kind of a head scratcher?
Well, I think when it comes down to it, you know, Oakland made that trade thinking he was going to be the starter. He's making more money than Terrell Pryor. And I think what happens is, you know, you don't want a distraction on your team. You know, and if anybody has seen Oakland Raiders play this year, Terrell Pryor is actually playing really well. He's throwing the ball with accuracy. He's running the ball. He's doing really well. Led them to a victory over the San Diego Chargers in late-night football on Sunday night. So if you haven't seen him, he's actually playing pretty solid football. And you can see the Oakland Raiders may have something there with a young quarterback. And, you know, I've been surprised by his accuracy with the football. He didn't necessarily saw that when he was at Ohio State. He knew the talent was there. But it looks like the Oakland Raiders may have something there at the quarterback position for now as well as the future. And so you get rid of the distraction. I think Matt Flynn, I think at this point we all know he's a backup at best in the league. You know, maybe Green Bay looks to bring him back. Well, McCarthy's had some signs of success with him at the backup position. So look for that, to either go to a team like Miami as a backup or Green Bay as a backup. The coaches that are familiar with them, Joe Philbin, and, of course, Mike McCarthy.
Gotcha. I want to hold off the top five receivers, Robin. I want to stick on the quarterback theme here. And let's talk about some QBs in the NFL. And I'm going to talk about a couple teams. This may take us into the OT portion, so I'll save about 2 minutes to talk about this. But just want to talk, get your thoughts about this, because there's a couple teams that I definitely know that we may have some questions here. But I'm also going to throw some other ones out there that may be a surprise and kind of what you think. Because next year, Rob, as you know, it is a pretty deep draft for quarterbacks. So, you know, if you're in the market for a quarterback, you know, next year we've got a good crop of young guys that are coming in. Not say they got to come into play immediately, but this could be an opportunity, Rob, that you could get your franchise quarterback, possibly even in the second round. I mean, so it's a pretty deep draft as far as that. I'm going to throw out some teams, Rob. I want to get your feedback as far as this. We are going to talk about which quarterbacks should be benched. We'll talk about it. Number one, we talked about it earlier, Houston. Matt Schaub, do you think he should be benched? And also, are they in the market, number one, T.J. Yates, or in the market next year to probably draft a young guy?
Well, I don't think Schaub should be benched at the moment. I don't think Yates is the answer. I think Schaub still gives them the best chance to win. Just got to, you know, watch his ball placement right now. You know, throwing two pick sixes this past week. But I do think he gives them the best chance to win over T.J. Yates. So I don't think it's time to give up on Schaub just yet. That team has had success the last few years with Schaub at the QB position.
I disagree. I think that Schaub is kind of reaching the end. You know, maybe I'm a hater. You know, right now he's making a lot of mistakes. And maybe, you know, having a guy in there that can come in there, he played very well in his playoff game, simplify the offense, you know, get that run game back going again, having this smart things, and put it on the defense, man. So that's what I think, you know. If the guy's hurting you, take him out.
But I will say, you know, at this rate, if he keeps going, Houston definitely should draft a quarterback. But I don't think it's time to bench him.
Gotcha. I like it. Let's talk about I'm going to throw some surprises your way, Rob. Now, we're not going to talk about quarterback should be benching anymore. Let's kind of – well, unless you have anyone that you want to kind of throw out there.
The guy that comes to mind to me that I think needs to be benched, and I think, you know, looked at as a bad draft choice, is Blaine Gabbert with Jacksonville. And
oh, wow.
This is a team we just talked about. If you have an opportunity to get Teddy Bridgewater, you know, even though you spent the first-round pick on Gabbert a couple of years ago, it's going to be a wasted pick. It looks like he's totally going into the bust category. Chad Henne should be the starter until they're able to get Bridgewater.
What do you think about Cincinnati and Andy Dalton? What do you think about him?
I think this year is going to be the determining point. Right now they're 3-2. I think this team has to win their division and at least win a playoff game for them to say Andy Dalton is at least a keeper. So I think this is that year where you kind of say that we're going to figure out what we have at the QB position with Andy Dalton.
Brian Hoyer. For the Cleveland Browns, see the answer, or are they going to be looking at drafting a quarterback? Brian Hoyer.
Well, I mean, he had a couple of really good games, but he's out for the season. I don't think you've seen enough to say he's the answer. If you get an opportunity to draft a top-flight quarterback, you got to go and get him if you're the Cleveland Browns.
Let's talk about another one, Mike Glennon for Tampa Bay. What do you think about that? Is this we haven't seen the body of work just yet, but you think he's the answer for Tampa Bay? And is Grady Schiano even going to be around? That's another question right now.
Well, obviously, I think Greg Schiano played a huge role with the way everything just went sour with Josh Freeman. And and Mike Glennon, we obviously he's only seen him start one game in the league. I'm going to go out on a limb. If Tampa Bay's got an opportunity to draft a top-flight quarterback, you have to go get him as well. I don't think Glennon is the answer.
Let's throw another one. This may be a surprise for you. What do you think about Sam Bradford? Is he kind of the answer with St. Louis, or does he deserve to keep moving on, or should they kind of like draft somebody to kind of push him?
Well, I think this. I think he and Andy Dalton are the same on the same grade this year. I think this is the determining year for both of those guys. I think after this year, both of those organizations are going to go ahead and make a decision. Is Bradford and Dalton our guy, or do we need to go out and find our guy? I think Bradford had one of his better games this past week against Jacksonville, albeit it was against Jacksonville, but he had one of his better games, throwing for 3 touchdowns since he's been in the league. But I think you're going to have to still see it throughout the season in order for them to declare he's their franchise quarterback for the future.
Let's talk about Minnesota. What do you think about Minnesota? And I know it may be a little early here, but what do you think about is Josh Freeman the answer, Rob? Obviously, they can't go anywhere but up, I would say, because Christian Ponder has not been playing well. So what do you think about this?
Well, I think this is a look-and-see kind of signing for the Vikings. I think if you go back a couple of years back when Raheem Morris was the head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, Josh Freeman had a season where he threw like 27 touchdowns and only 6 INTs. And if you can find that quarterback again, then you might still have something with the Vikings here. I don't think Christian Ponder is the answer either. I think that was a reach when they took him at number 12 in the first round. He should have been the second or third round pick at best. And now you find the Vikings are still looking for the quarterback. So I think this is a look-and-see kind of signing with Josh Freeman. Can we find that Josh Freeman from a couple of years ago? Can we get him back at least to that level? It's not a Pro Bowl level, but he will be a solid/good quarterback in this league. You know, Josh Freeman, I think one of his problems is he's got to give it to the football a little bit quicker. He holds on to it. He's got a little hitch in his delivery. So he's got to get rid of the football a little bit quicker. But there is still some potential there with Josh Freeman.
Got about 2 minutes, Rob. I want you to go ahead and kick into the OT portion. And we'll keep up because there's 2 more teams I want to focus on. We'll talk about some top five and talk about some predictions and also for pro and also some predictions for college. So go ahead and get ready to set up the OT portion of the show as we are moving right along.
Well, we certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning in to our show tonight. We're going to be right back at the same time, same place, same link next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, and 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii. Aloha to all of you all. So definitely tune in once again. Like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. If you want to compete with us in fantasy basketball, please send us your email addresses so we can send you an invitation to compete with the pros in fantasy basketball. Good night, people.
Good night, people. As Rob mentioned, we definitely appreciate you guys listening, especially if you want to listen to us on the archive. I want to give a big shout-out to my cousin, as always. He does a great job of posting his thoughts on the page, man. So thanks, Mario. In Japan, you keep it keep following us. I appreciate it. I got to figure out what time it is in Japan right now. I want
spread
to
the word in Japan, Mario.
We're
looking for some more listeners in Japan. Spread the word.
There you go. But, yeah, we appreciate that as always. Definitely, we're here. So that's what we did. As Rob said, same time, same channel next week. We try to keep a good job as far as keeping up with some sports stories. But we're just having fun. That's what we do. So, once again, as Rob said, we're on Facebook. Check us out from there. Also, we're going to do the Fantasy Basketball League. We've got our Fantasy Football Leagues. I hope I'm doing good, man. I think I'm doing a great job in that, too, so as well as my co-host. So that's what it's all about. We'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people.
Just got it in with 1 second. We are officially into the OT portion of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And I did want to kind of talk about still the same thing we were discussing as far as quarterbacks and if certain guys should be gone or who should be benched. I do want to make a quick comment about I did say that it's going to be a pretty deep draft for quarterbacks next year. And I'm going to the limb, Robert. I'm calling Andy Reid a genius. And this is why. I'd like to hear your thoughts about this. Do you think that Alex Smith is the answer? I know this year will definitely will give us some more feedback as far as that. Do you think they actually reach out and draft a quarterback to kind of be the quarterback for the future?
Well, here's the deal. When Andy Reid comes from that Mike Holmgren philosophy, well, they're almost going to draft a quarterback every year. He's not going to take one in the first round, but he's going to take one round two, three, or four, or five. He's going to look for a quarterback that he may see something in that has an opportunity to develop. And what they do with the quarterback position, they always develop solid backups that can lead to a potential starting position. Even if he's not going to be a starter with the Chiefs, they're going to develop this guy to look like a starter for the rest of the league, and then they're going to trade him for more value than what they drafted him from. And that's the Mike Holmgren philosophy when it comes to quarterback positions. They've had a lot of success doing that over the years. They drafted Mark Brunell in the sixth round, who's with Green Bay, and they wound up trading him to Jacksonville for a second or third round pick. They've been doing that with quarterbacks for years. They're going to always have a quarterback on their roster. Same thing with Nick Foles in Philadelphia right now. You're developing this guy. There's going to be somebody in the league. Either the Eagles are going to think he's going to be their starter, or somebody else is going to think they're the starter.
I like it. What do you think about Arizona and Carson Palmer? Is he a long-term answer or more of a short-term fix, Rob? I mean, are they going to be in the market to draft a quarterback as well?
I think definitely they're going to be looking for a quarterback in the future. He's a short-term fix. And, I mean, obviously they're 3-2 right now. They have a winning record. But I think long-term they're going to need a quarterback. And, I mean, he's just barely getting it done this year. He's not the Carson Palmer when he first came in the league, you know, when he was at the 23, 24, 25 years old. So, yeah, he's barely getting it done. He doesn't have much mobility, and he's not getting the ball out quick enough.
Two more. Let's think about I want to get your thoughts real quick on the Oakland Raiders. I know you said earlier that Terrell Pryor is playing very well. Has he played well enough to kind of be the answer, or do you think the Raiders are in the market for a quarterback?
Well, I think right now, if he keeps at the rate he's going, I think he has played well enough to be the answer. I think he's, like I said, if you really go out and pay attention to some of his games and, you know, film study, you see he's really getting the ball out. He's throwing the ball with accuracy. He's showing mobility. He's getting out running when he have to. So he's really showing a lot of versatility at the quarterback position.
Is Ben Roethlisberger still going to be around Pittsburgh Steelers? I know he's kind of getting up there. He's got a pretty big contract. What do you think about Steelers, and are they in the market as well? I know I'm kind of hitting you with all these questions. I think it's fun.
Well, I think Big Ben, I think what you have, I think he's still the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the problem with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now is a lot of things. I think the teams have just gotten old right before us. They're not playing quality defense. There's absolutely no running game whatsoever. And we all know a running game could be a quarterback's best friend. And he really doesn't have any weapons on that offense. There's not a great offensive line. They don't really have great weapons on the perimeter. And he doesn't have a running game. So I think when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have to get some personnel around Big Ben. But I think he's still a quarterback.
Gotcha. Cool, that's what we do, man. We had a nice little back and forth, thigh trips back and forth as far as quarterback play. So we'd love to hear your feedback as far as if you think we're crazy or if you think there's some quarterbacks that may be on the hot seat. You know, I know Tim Tebow is always ready to step up if that ever happens, man. So just throwing that out there, Rob, just for you to be aware about that too. So,
you just had to get that in. I'll be waiting for it.
Man,
you're waiting for the right time to say it.
I always try to work it in, man. So just if the topic permits, man, I'll figure out a way to get it in there. That's kind of like my little inside joke. Let's talk about the top five wide receivers. We got quarterbacks. Let's talk about the prima donnas that are trying to get the ball. In other words, the Keyshawn, give him the dang ball. I'm going to go with my top five. And right now, I'm going to go with the top receiver. Right now, I've got Calvin Johnson. Megatron has been doing his thing, man. He's clearly, you know, and may not be statistically one of the top guys, but just I just think he's just, you know, a nightmare right now playing his thing from my alma mater, Georgia Tech. Got to give him a lot of love. Number two, Georgia wide receivers here. I show some love to A.J. Green, man. I think he's playing fantastic right now. Cincinnati, if they get another weapon to kind of help him out, I don't think they've quite figured out another guy to kind of take some pressure off of him just yet. But A.J. is still being double-teamed, and he's still doing his thing. Number three, I've got Dez Bryant. Not that I'm a Cowboy fan, but I got to give credit where credit's due. He's playing absolutely fantastic, showing him some love. And number four kind of hurts me, man, because I actually had Julio Jones in there. I think he was kind of making his mark. You know, obviously, in spite of the injury, that may adjust that position, but just I'm still going to keep it. You know, I think he's, you know, definitely a breakout player and hope this doesn't set him back too much. Number five was kind of I had a toss-up. I could have gone either way with Demaryius Thomas and or Brandon Marshall. So it's kind of one of those things, but I'm going to give a slight edge to Demaryius Thomas. I know it does help to have Peyton Manning versus Jay Cutler as your quarterback, Rob, but a dynamic playmaker coming into his own. And I definitely showing him some love for Georgia Tech, too. So go ahead, sir. We're going to hear your top five wide receivers for the game.
Oh, I think we are right along the same boat here once again here. I got a little bit of a wrinkle on my top five wide receivers. My number one is actually Jimmy Graham of the New Orleans Saints. I know he's listed as a tight end, but he actually lines up 60% of the times at the wide receiver position. And he's actually leading the NFL in receptions and yardage this year. So I'm going to go with a surprise wrinkle and put Jimmy Graham down as a wide receiver.
You know, he's not a wide receiver. He's trying to get your same guy in there, man. What's up with that, man? Come on, man.
Hey, you know, just telling it like it is. Number two, I still got Calvin Johnson, even though he's got a nagging injury right now. I got him at the number two position. Number three, I actually have Dez Bryant. I tell you, he's the fastest rising star at the wide receiver position in the league right now. And he's almost uncoverable. He's got speed, he's got size. And, you know, going into the season, I had A.J. Green rated higher than him. But based on what I've been seeing this year, Dez Bryant has been unbelievable. So I have him at the number three position. I have A.J. Green at the number four position. And number five, I totally agree with you, has been a toss-up between Bebe Thomas and Brandon Marshall, but I settled with Demaryius Thomas at the number five position.
No love for Julio. That's okay, man. I still love you, Julio. You're my boy. You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy. Let's keep it moving here. We are wrapping up another fantastic edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. Let's talk about some picks as far as the NFL. We got Detroit, the Lions going to Cleveland, let's talk about this game first and foremost. I think that if Cleveland had Brian Hoyer, I think it'd be more or less of an opportunity because they've been playing extremely well. Brandon Whedon's coming back, slightly step back. In spite of everything, I think that Detroit's going to play well. I think they're going to do all they can. They may be able to pull this game out.
Well, you got 2-3-2 ball clubs, both teams with identical 3-2 records. And I'll be honest with you, I like the Cleveland Browns here, with or without Brian Hoyer. And the Lions, you know, we don't know if Calvin Johnson will be back. Indications are that he will be. You still don't have Nate Burleson. And, I mean, they're a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde ball club. And I think Cleveland has found something there. Defensively, they have been incredible. Offensively, even this past week, when Brandon Whedon came in the game, they didn't miss a beat. And I think the Browns have actually found something on both sides of the ball. All of a sudden, they've just gotten hot. Barkevious Mingo is off to an unbelievable start as a rookie with all the sacks he's getting. And I like the Browns at home here. I think they found something here. And this looks like a team that just actually might compete for their division. It might be a surprise to all of us, but they are competing at the moment, and I like the Cleveland Browns.
Wow. Good one. I didn't see that one coming, but that's what it is all about. Let's talk about Tennessee at Seattle. Seattle's coming off a tough road loss against the Colts. They're back at home versus 12 men. Obviously, Jake Locker's not going to play. Ryan Fitzpatrick stepping in there. I think because it is at Seattle, that 12th man, our namesake is going to go nuts. I think Seattle's going to play well. They'll be able to pull off against a pretty good Tennessee team.
I like Seattle on the route in this ball game. I know Tennessee's got a 3-2 record. They don't have Jake Locker, and Seattle's unbelievable at home. I think this game is going to be a blowout.
Wow. Good deal. That could be close, man. I agree. They're going to be ready to go. Big game at San Francisco. We got Arizona at San Francisco. Right now, Arizona's been playing pretty well. I don't think they've been playing as well as San Francisco, though. San Francisco has it at home. I like San Francisco in this particular matchup.
I agree. You got two teams, identical records as well, 3-2, fighting it out for that NFC West right along with Seattle. But I think San Fran, it looks like they've found their groove back again. And I like them to win this game by at least two touchdowns over Arizona.
Wow. Good deal. Save the best for last. The big one, we've got New Orleans at New England. I'm going to go on the limb and say that Rob, you're going to think that the Saints are going to pull this out. What are your thoughts as far as this?
Well, you know, this is the same way I felt with the Saints going at Chicago last week. If the Saints was going to Chicago in December, I would probably pick the Bears. But as you heard me on the show last week, we actually going to Chicago in October, so I picked the Saints to win. And I feel the same way here with New England. I think New England has not been consistent this year. I mean, a couple of games this year they've squeaked out to win. And I don't think they're playing that great, even with Rob Gronkowski coming back. I think the surprise here with the Patriots and the Saints, that the last couple of years, both the Patriots and Saints defensively have been kind of down. It looked like this year both teams are playing very good defense. But I think the difference in this game is going to be the Saints are still playing great offense and the Patriots are not. So I like the Saints to go on the road and win this game. I think it's going to be close, though. I think we're looking at about a 3-6 point win for the Saints on the road.
Got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk real quick about our college picks, and then we'll talk about Aaron Murray. Just real quick, do you think Aaron Murray should be included in the Heisman race, Rob?
I think he should be included. I don't think he's a favorite right now, but I think he should be mentioned in the race.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's definitely playing well. I don't think he's top Heisman stuff just yet. There's too many other talented people right now. But, yeah, put him in there. I think it's good for him to kind of be competing. We'll see how it plays out. Let's talk about some college picks here. A lot of big games this weekend, as always. Let's kick it off with Georgia, and we were talking about Aaron Murray. Let's talk about number 25 Missouri at number 7 Georgia. I think Missouri is still trying to figure things out, Rob, in the SEC. They just joined last year. They're not quite ready to play big boy football just yet. I think they'll give Georgia a pretty good challenge, and then Georgia will pull away near the end.
Yeah, I agree with this here, too. Missouri is undefeated. They moved into the top 25, but they really haven't played a tough opponent yet. I like Georgia here as well. Georgia defense is pretty porous, and they can keep an opponent in the game, so I don't think it's going to be like a total blowout, but I can see Georgia winning this game by about 10 points.
Number 17, Florida at number 10, LSU. Go Saints, T-Rob Ford. T-Rob Ford is on it. In this instance, I think that LSU is going to pull this out because, Florida's got a young quarterback. He's been playing well. But Zach Mecklenburg has been playing, definitely a lot more impressive right now. I think it's going to be LSU in this particular matchup.
Yeah, this is going to be an intriguing matchup because Florida might have the best defense in the SEC, and LSU's got the best offense in the SEC. And so it's going to be, a war of attrition here. You're going to see who's going to come out on top. But I like LSU to win this game by about 10 points. LSU's defense is pretty porous this year as well. But I think they'll get a little break playing against a young quarterback, and they'll be able to pull this one out by about 10 points.
We've got a minute left, Rob. Let's go ahead and say our goodbyes and get ready set for next week. We've made it.
We certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning in to the show tonight. We got another great show for you guys on next week, talking more football. We're getting closer and closer for the start of the NBA season. We're getting closer to the World Series, so we got a lot to cover. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii. I know we got a lot of listeners in Germany and Japan, so we certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning in once again. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thank you so much for listening in. And as Rob said, check us out. We'll see you guys same time, same channel. See Chris, Andre, Rob. We are out. Good night, people.